Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street, Dow Jones Industrial Average down 58 to close at 19,862. S&P 500 down 6 at 2,267. NASDAQ Composite down 35 at 5,538. Russell 2000, small and mid-caps, down 19 at 1,352. Yield on the 10-year Treasury down 5 basis points at 2.33%. Oil up 13 cents at $52.50 per barrel. Gold up $12.80 at $1,216.40 per ounce. Major market indices dropped at the opening this morning, just couldn't recover. In a Friday interview with the Wall Street Journal, President-elect Trump said the U.S. currency, which touched a more than 14-year high about 2 weeks ago, he said the dollar has gotten too strong, especially considering the China yuan dropping like a rock. Trump told the Wall Street Journal, quote, "Our companies can't compete with them now because our currency is too strong and it's killing us," end quote. Stock market's been taking its cue from the dollar. Dollar has been saying the U.S. economy is strong and growing, and the prospects of the Fed raising rates only confirms the strength of the economy and the dollar. And this is not the first time we've talked about the strong dollar, and the long dollar trade is already crowded, followed by short treasuries. And there is another problem. While stocks have enjoyed a strong dollar with money flowing in, dollar strength is generally bad for the rest of the world, which in turn makes U.S. goods and services tougher to sell. So the markets are pricing in a strong dollar, and that brings us round to earnings season. Companies in the S&P 500 are expected to report their bottom lines grew by 6.2% in the fourth quarter, that according to the latest data, the strongest growth since a 7% increase in the first quarter of fiscal year 2014. And that has already been baked into the cake. One thing is for sure, with a pricey market, the S&P 500 is trading at about 17 times forward earnings estimates. And with a pricey market, investors need to be cautious, as any miss or weak forward guidance will probably be punished with some steep selling. Today, Morgan Stanley said its quarterly earnings climbed 83% and beat analyst expectations as the bank logged its strongest fourth quarter profit since the financial crisis. Morgan Stanley reported a profit of $1.6 billion or 81 cents per share in a quarter that included a surge of post-election trading activity. Revenue grew 17% to $9 billion. Comerica reported fourth-quarter earnings of 99 cents per share. That was 4 cents better than estimates. Comerica posted revenues of $722 million, which missed estimates. However, it compared favorably with the year-ago number of $699 million. Comerica, for instance, is up a tidy 85% year-over-year, including a 38% run over the last 3 months, and it looks like more than a four-penny beat was anticipated. Morgan Stanley down 3.7% today, Comerica down 6.5%. Most of the financials were down, including Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citi, and Goldman. And the banking ETFs, KRE, down 3.6%, and KBE down 3.4%. Bank earnings have been running hot, but having bid the sector sharply higher for nearly all of 2016, and particularly since the election, investors are selling the news. United Health Group earned an adjusted $2.11 per share for the fourth quarter. That was 4 cents a share above estimates. Revenue also beat forecast. United Health saw strength in its pharmacy benefit management business and noted a large increase in medical benefits customers during 2016. Tiffany, the luxury goods retailer, reported a 4% drop in holiday period same-store sales, pointing to a decline in consumer spending. They also said sales at their flagship New York location were hurt by traffic disruption near Trump Tower. Forget about a soft Brexit. UK Prime Minister Theresa May said Britain will leave the EU's single market when it exits the European Union. May said she would seek an equal partnership with the EU, but that she would not adopt models already used by other countries that have free trade agreements with the bloc. The EU says it won't consider single market access for the UK unless it accepts the four freedoms: goods, capital, services, and people. May also warned the EU against taking punitive actions against the UK for leaving the bloc. Her announcement that she will put the final Brexit deal to a vote in both houses of parliament comes ahead of a court decision on whether she has the power to start the process of withdrawing without parliamentary approval. The British pound sterling posted big gains after May's speech. Making the first appearance by a Chinese leader at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland, President Xi Jinping said the world's most important task is to revive the global economy, and he pressed his case for free trade, saying, "Protectionism is like locking oneself in a dark room. No one will win the trade war." He said economic globalization had become a Pandora's box for many, but that it was not the cause of many global problems. He added that international financial crises were caused by the excessive pursuit of profits, not globalization. Deutsche Bank has reached a final settlement with the U.S. Justice Department over its handling of mortgage-backed securities before 2008, resolving one of its biggest litigation risks. The bank agreed to pay $7.2 billion and admitted to misleading investors. The penalty was in line with the bank's December 23rd announcement that it had reached an agreement in principle in the matter. They will pay a $3.1 billion civil penalty and provide $4.1 billion in relief to homeowners. It's believed the settlement will leave Deutsche Bank thin in capital reserves. The bank still faces investigations into whether it manipulated foreign currency rates and precious metals prices, and whether it facilitated transactions that helped investors illegally transfer billions of dollars out of Russia. And today, the U.S. Supreme Court refused to stop antitrust lawsuits that accuse some of the world's biggest banks, including Deutsche Bank, of conspiring to rig the London Interbank Offered Rate, known as LIBOR. British American Tobacco has agreed to a $49 billion takeover of U.S. rival Reynolds American, creating the world's biggest listed tobacco company, after it increased an earlier offer by more than $2 billion. BAT already owned 42% of Reynolds. The deal, which values the whole of Reynolds at around $86 billion, will mark the return of BAT to the lucrative and highly regulated U.S. market after a 12-year absence, making it the only tobacco giant with a leading presence in American and international markets. ExxonMobil said it will buy companies owned by the Bass family of Fort Worth, Texas, in a deal worth up to $6.6 billion that would more than double its output from the Permian Basin. The acquired companies hold about 275,000 acres of leasehold that produces more than 18,000 net oil equivalent barrels per day. Saudi Arabia says OPEC is on track to wrap up its production curbs by the middle of the year. 24 nations signed on to a joint cutback of 1.8 million barrels a day on December 10th. OPEC and Russia won't need to prolong output cuts beyond June because the agreed reductions will have already ended the oversupply in world crude markets. However, it is doubtful the production cuts will eliminate the existing supply glut. General Motors announced long-held plans to invest about $1 billion in its U.S. factories. The investment will help GM create or retain more than 1,000 jobs. At least that was the initial report, and now GM says it will add 5,000 jobs over several years. GM will also move production of some truck axles from Mexico to the U.S., creating another 450 jobs. Another 1,500 jobs will be created or retained from other investments, or 7,000 jobs in total. Of course, GM recently said it plans to lay off 2,700 U.S. workers at plants in Ohio and Michigan that build slow-selling models such as the Chevy Cruze and the Cadillac ATS. So let's drop that total down to 4,300. Still, that's good, and you have to give credit to GM. They have deflected a tweet storm for now. Hyundai Motor said it will invest as much as $3.1 billion in its existing U.S. manufacturing facilities, and they say they're considering a new plant. Hyundai's latest investment plan represents a nearly 50% increase from $2.1 billion the group invested in the U.S. during the previous five-year period. Hyundai currently has a factory in Montgomery, Alabama, while Kia runs a factory in Georgia. Walmart plans to add 10,000 retail jobs in the U.S. as it opens new stores and expands existing locations. Company plans $6.8 billion in capital investments in the U.S. in the coming fiscal year, which begins February 1st. There will be 59 new, expanded, and relocated Walmart and Sam's Club locations. Walmart says there will also be about 24,000 construction jobs generated by its expansion plans. Lowe's, the home improvement retailer, plans to cut about 3,000 jobs, about 1% of its workforce. And Gene Cernan, U.S. Navy captain, veteran of three space flights, last man to walk on the moon, has died. He was 82. In December 1972, Cernan spent 3 days on the moon. At the end of his mission, Cernan scrawled his daughter's initial into the lunar dust, climbed into the Challenger module behind his fellow crewmate, saying, "We leave as we came, and God willing, as we shall return, with peace and hope for all mankind." No one has returned to the moon since. Dow Industrials down 58 at 19,862. S&P 500 down 6 at 22,67. NASDAQ Composite down 35 at 55,38. Follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and the daily blog, text, audio, and more at eatthebankers.com.